Well, you did it. You made it to week 4, girls. I'm going to pull this out just a little bit. I'm sorry. We had to kind of change our play a little bit. But hopefully everybody can see me. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 tonight. And I'm going to also be over in 2 Timothy. So you guys, I like to give you guys a heads up so you can kind of put your thumbs in a couple places. But tonight, we are putting a bow on our study in Philippians, and we're talking about how we can obtain and maintain joy through giving. So before we get into our new stuff, let me ask a question. How many of you guys did your homework? How many of you took a risk and went out to coffee? Wave your hands in the air like you just don't care. This table gets gold stars. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I am proud of you guys for doing that. Kudos. And I just want to remind us that when we started 4 weeks ago tonight, I was reading, or we shared with you all, a verse that our team was praying over you. And it's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And I'm just going to read it from the Amplified. I'm going to see here. I might have it. Yeah, there it is. "And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in real knowledge and practical insight, so that you may learn to recognize and treasure what is excellent, and that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So I pray and I believe that the word that's been sown in your heart, the investment that you've made, the sacrifice that you've made to be here every single week, or as many weeks as you could say yes, that this word is going to come to fruition, that you are going to abound in knowledge, that you are going to have greater insight, practical insight, and that you are going to reap a harvest of righteousness. So that's what I'm excited about. And I do hope you'll come and join us in August when we get back together again. Like Monica said, our team is still praying. I promise it'll be in the Bible. We just haven't decided what part yet. But we'd love to have you there. All right, so the other thing over the last 4 weeks is we've learned how to do inductive Bible study. Does anybody know what the first part of inductive Bible study is? Observation, yes. What's the second part? And what's the best part? Yes. And so our other prayer is that over the next lifetime that you spend in the Word, you'll be able to put those things into practice. All right, so we're going to dig right in Philippians chapter 4. And this chapter starts with Paul appealing to two women. Now, I want to share with you guys that there is a tremendous amount of biblical evidence and support for women playing a key role in leading and serving in the early church. And that gets me so excited because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said in the book of Joel, he would pour his spirit out on all flesh. So that means men and women. And then he said, your young men are going to dream dreams and your old men will have visions. So I'm like, praise God, young, old man, woman, we're covering all the bases. And so in the New Testament, we have this legacy of women who were laboring alongside Jesus, alongside Paul, alongside Peter to establish the New Testament church. So we've talked about Lydia in Acts chapter 16. There was Priscilla and Aquila. They were a husband-wife team in the New Testament church. She actually pulled Apollos aside and helped iron out a few errors in his doctrine. Then Phoebe was a deaconess. How many of you knew there were female deacons in the New Testament church? You can read all about her in the book of Romans. And then the ones we're going to talk about tonight. Now, nobody take your bra off and start burning it, okay? We're not having that kind of rally, all right? We're not having that kind of rally. I'll get you excited about the Word of God. So then we're going to meet tonight. We're going to focus tonight on Euodias and Syntyche. I had to play that on YouTube so I would know how to pronounce that because I don't meet many Euodias and Syntyche. I feel like Syntyche is something you would taste in chicken salad. Like, oh, I really taste the Syntyche in this recipe, right? So we have these two women who helped lead the church in Philippi. And I'm sorry, team, the lightning affected that. So we kept it on so you could get blinks of slides, but we know what's going on and I can't fix it for you.
But they were leading the church in Philippi. We're about to read about them. Then there's Mary, Trophinia, Tryphosa, and Persis. I didn't do those in YouTube, so I may have slaughtered those. They have worked very hard in the Lord. Romans. John Mark's mother, Mary, Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, her home is the one that Peter was leading the church in Jerusalem. When he got released from prison, he knocked on Mary's door. So then we get Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna. Now this one excites me because people are like, yeah, that was Paul. Well, let me tell you who Jesus was working with. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, these women were helping to support them, Jesus and the disciples, out of their means. The word there, support them, is the word we get for deacon. So the Lord had disciples who were male and female while he ministered on the earth. And guys, I'm ready to run up and down right now. That gets me so excited. I am here today because men and women were willing to give of their time and their talent and their treasure. And they invested in me and spread the gospel to me and planted a seed in me. And then they were willing to water it and nurture it. And you are here because of their investment in a little girl. And our belief in the gospel, everything is transmitted relationally in the gospel, from the Father to the Son to all of us. And so when you and I choose to live joyful lives and maintain our joy through serving others, the expectation is that the kingdom of God will continue to advance because you will give of your time, your talent, and your resources because it comes to you so it can flow through you. And in the kingdom, you get to keep what you give away. And so if you want to keep what God is bringing into your life, then you are going to have to be a generous person in what you give away. And so when we open up the book of Philippians, we're going to start there and we're going to read about these two women. Now, before we get into them, if you have your Bible in that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I've inspired you with some incredible women who the Lord used to build his church in the New Testament. And then Paul writes to Timothy about women who are the absolute opposite. And you find them in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's pick it up in like verse 4. 2 Timothy 3 verse 4. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. My Bible is falling apart. And I heard a saying, if your Bible's falling apart, your life probably isn't. So here we go. So 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to pick it up in verse 4. This is talking about the end times and how people will be in the last days. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than lovers of God. Verse 5. For they hold a form of godliness, but they deny and reject its power with regard to their conduct. Avoid all such people and turn away from them. For among those are those who worm their way into homes and captivate silly and weak-natured women. They are spiritually dwarfed women, loaded down with sins, swayed and led away by various evil desires and seductive impulses. These weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information, but they are never able to arrive at a recognition and a knowledge of the truth. So we have two types of women on display in the New Testament. You have women on whom the Holy Spirit can move and who are giving of themselves to further the gospel. And then you have women who are called spiritually dwarfed, who are ever learning but never coming to an understanding and knowledge of the truth. And I would challenge you that we want to be among the first and not the latter. And I want to honor you that you are here tonight because you are pursuing the first and not the former. Because you are wanting the Holy Spirit to use you and to partner with you so that you can bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So that is what we're here tonight to do. So if you've got your Bible, let's pick it up in Philippians. We're just going to read the first part of that chapter. I'm going to pick it up in verse 2, and then we're going to break it out a little bit. I plead with Yodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who are contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. These women were working at Paul's side, along with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of the life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, that's how you start a chapter in the Bible. What's incredible to me is that how many of you have heard the verses we just read at some other point in your life?
Yeah.
Or you've read them on bookmarks, or you've seen them on magnets on your mama's refrigerator. These are some oldies and some goodies, are they not? And all of this truth comes at the beginning of Paul pleading with two female leaders to put aside their differences for the sake of the gospel. Y'all, where you have people, you will have conflict, right? Like, that is not breaking news. But the difference for the believer is we have to choose if we want to be right or do we want to have joy. Do we want to be right or do we want to have peace? Do we want to be right or do we want to be an ambassador for the gospel of Jesus Christ? And Paul is presenting that to these women. And in the text of that, now think about this. This is before social media and 24-hour news. So he has heard about a catfight in Philippi while he is sitting in a prison in Rome. How big a catfight is this that it has gotten from Philippi all the way to Rome through a jail? And they're like, you ain't not going to believe what Yodia and Syntyche are doing. Girl lost her weave. It was crazy out there. I'm telling you, that's how big the fight is. And the fight is so big that it is threatening the unity of the Philippi church. These women are fighting publicly, and they are about to split the church wide open. That is how powerful women are in leadership. And that is how powerful it is when you choose joy and peace over what you perceive as your right in that moment. So in the scene of all of this going down with these women, we get these incredible nuggets of truth from the Holy Spirit showing us how we should conduct our lives, what we should think about. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Did you know that that verse followed him telling two women, break it up, y'all need to put it aside for the sake of the gospel? Nobody ever taught me that. They just go to verse 5 and they didn't read verse 2, 3, and 4, right? But that is the message to us as women. So here's the deal. I said it, I'll say it again. Where you have people, you have conflict. And joy requires us to give grace. Joy requires us to give up the right to be right. And joy requires us to trust God that it is going to work out. You are not your best advocate. The Holy Spirit is your best advocate.
Amen.
And you can choose to fight for yourself, or you can choose to be still and let him fight for you.
Amen.
And I promise you, he'll do a better job every time.
Amen.
And that's honestly the choice that it comes down to for you and I. When you read about Jesus, when he was teaching in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, I believe this is the Beatitudes. And he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Notice that Jesus did not say, blessed are the peacekeepers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Sometimes you gotta make your peace and make peace. And as women, you have a tremendous amount of influence in your homes, in your places of business, in your communities, in your neighborhoods, not to keep peace, but to walk in there under the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of His Word and say, we're going to make peace up in this place. We're going to declare truth up in this place. So, let's move right along because I've got a lot to cover. At the end of the day, girls, you don't have to pick your heart because they're both hard. You just got to pick which heart you're going to go for. Whether you're going to choose to allow the Holy Spirit to have restraining work in your life and hold your tongue and trust Him to work it out and give up your right to be right, or whether you're going to choose to advocate for yourself and walk that out and see where it leads you. Either road will be hard. Just choose wisely and pick wisely. All right, so let's move on. I shared a lot of verses here that we just read that are like these golden nuggets. I would encourage you to commit some of these to memory, if not all of them. Guys, I learned Philippians 4:8 when I was 13 years old. A woman of God taught me that verse when I was 13. I am 46. 33 years later, that verse has done more to probably change my life than many other verses in Scripture. Whatever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, to think on these things. Philippians 4:11 about contentment. We're going to break that out in a little bit. And what is contentment and how does contentment fuel our joy? You keep reading Philippians 4:13. We didn't get there yet, but if you keep reading in that chapter, you guys know this one. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Talking to two women about fighting, and he's going to end it with, you can do all things through Christ. I know it's hard, Yodia. I know it's hard, Cinta Cheek. I know she was ugly. But you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And then Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So let's transition a little bit. We talked about how we're going to have to give grace. We talked about how we're going to have to give up our right to be right. But let's also talk about the giving of our resources. Because you and I know when we met on our first night, that the colony of Philippi is a master plan community. Remember, we talked about that. They're on a major trade route. The woman who helped found this church, Lydia, was a merchant in purple cloth. And guess what? Only rich people can afford to buy purple cloth. So this church has some resources. What's incredible is they just don't sit on them. Paul leaves Philippi and he goes on a missionary journey to Thessalonica. They are the only church to support his missionary journey to Thessalonica. Remember, the church in Jerusalem's been around a lot longer, 10 years longer than Philippi. But he can't get any support from those churches, but the church in Philippi is able to underwrite that. They give him a gift. He's sitting in prison in Rome. The reason Paul is writing this epistle, it's a thank you note, because the servant from Philippi has come with financial gifts to Paul in Rome to help sustain him while he's sitting in prison. So this whole epistle is written as a thank you note to this church for the tangible financial support they gave the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. At the end of the day, the Bible talks more about generosity and the giving of our resources than it does any other subject. It talks about believing 272 times. It talks about praying 371 times. It talks about love 714 times. Giving 2,162. Let me encourage you. You serve a generous God. For God so loved the world that he gave. While we were still sinners, he gave. Not knowing what we would do in response to his gift, he gave. He is a giving God. And he challenges us to be like him in every way. And we have to be generous people. Now, let me flip over my notes here a little bit. Because I'm kind of losing my place. Because I'm going too fast. I'm sorry about that. But when we're talking about giving, the Bible is very, very clear in the parables of giving. If you want to write this down, the verse is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 8. In fact, why don't we just turn there real quick? 2 Corinthians 9, because I don't want to misquote it. Now I got to do it old school. I got to sing my books of the Bible so I can remember it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story of Jesus, and then move on. You thought I was kidding. How many of you guys have to sing the alphabet when you alphabetize? A, B, C, D. Yeah, same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to hop over to verse 6. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. So here's the deal. When it comes to sowing and to reaping, farmers know that if you don't put anything in the ground, you're not going to get anything in the harvest. Like next to where you have people, you have conflict. That's another earth-shattering truth, right? And how many of you know when you plant the seeds from an apple, you don't get an apple. You get an apple tree. Because there are things that are seeking to devour you and what you have. And God knows that you don't need an addition work. You need a multiplicated work. Amen. And so he challenges us in his word to sow generously so you can reap generously. And he challenges us also not to eat our seed. Because the temptation can be, oh, I just better hold on to the seed. I don't know if I want to sow it. A farmer knows he's not going to eat or have what he needs unless he allows the seed to do what it was created to do, which was to be multiplied. Once, by faith, it's put in the ground and it's allowed to flourish. I just want to challenge your faith. And I know I'm stretching you right now. I can feel it in the room. I want to challenge you to take God at his word. And if he is challenging you to sow the seed that you have in your hand, trust him to make his word true in your life. You are trusting him with your soul in heaven. You can trust him with your money on earth. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. Joy gives to give, not to get. We give to get. So with that, Monica has an incredible story that happened to her this week with regards to giving. And I asked her if she would share it, if she could take like 2 or 3 minutes, Monica, and share your experience this week with regards to sowing and reaping.
So most of you guys know that my daughter had a stroke January 7th of this year, right? So what I have in my hand here, y'all see this? You see this big old thick thing? This is nothing but medical bills from the week she was in the hospital. Right here. That's just the hospital. That's just the hospital. That has nothing to do with when she got out or anything else, right? So she has faith-based insurance, basically. Most places don't take it. You have to pay for all the bills up front, and then you submit it to them, and then see what they'll pay, right? And then a lot of places don't take that, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to bore you that part, because that doesn't matter. You know, that doesn't matter. So we are at the point of $500,000 at this point so far, right? It really doesn't move me. I mean, that could be $500,000 as well. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know. So, anyway, earlier this year, I committed to paying for something. I wanted to give to this certain thing. I wanted to sponsor somebody for something. And it went cheap, okay? And I committed to doing it. I said, I'm going to do that. I want to do that. And then when it came time to do that, probably sometime in February, I committed to doing this before Megan had a stroke. So, in the part of February, here comes the bills, right? And of course, my daughter's an adulterer in her name, but I am not going to let her be swallowed up. I mean, she has enough that she's doing, right? So I just took all that off. And, you know, let me deal with it, Megan. You get well. That's what you did. So, anyway, so it came time for me to do my part, to give for what I was going to do. And I'm just thinking, you know, I don't know that I can really do this right now because it wasn't a little small amount of money. I have all this coming in and really Megan needs to come first. And so I may just have to just say, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm sorry. And this person would completely understand, right? They know what I'm going through. And so, but I didn't feel a peace about just not doing it. So I just, Lord, I was going to put this on the shelf for a couple of days, right? So a couple days go by, and I mean, this is dogging me, like, so I was like, I'm not going to be able to do it. And so I turned to walk up my stairs. So this is like the first week of March. And it was like the Lord said to me, you cannot out, well, I actually said this, you cannot outgive God, Monica. What are you doing? You know better. So I marched my little happy self up my stairs and at work, and I wrote that check out, and I took care of that right then. And I am not exaggerating, guys. Less than 30 seconds. I had an email that more than three times donated towards Megan's medical bills. So, since then, all of Megan's stay at her rehab, the second rehab, was given to her. That's $25,000 for her rehab. Okay? It was given to her. All of the doctors that saw her in that rehab donated their time. That was all given to her. And so since then, more bills come in. This is just the hospital and the people that are in the hospital. I keep getting these bills and keep getting these bills. And so the Lord told me it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would just write letters and ask for help. And I would just, you know, this is where she's at. This is what she's doing. She's working very, very hard. She's trying to be an independent person again. She serves in church. She's a school teacher, blah, blah, blah. Every single bill that I've written to date, with the exception of one, totally forgave all of the amounts.
Chapter 6, verse 37. This is Jesus talking. And he says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Girls, if you need forgiveness, give it. If you need grace, sow it. If you have a financial need and the Holy Spirit prompts you like it did Monica, put some seed in the ground. Amen. Pressed down, shaken together will men give unto your lap. But they're not going to do it, Jesus told us, until you do it first. You reap what you sow.
Yes.
And so friends, I would just challenge you. Joy gives to give, not to give. And when you give, it does not go out of your life. It goes into your future.
Amen.
Every single time.
You're yes. sowing smiles, you're going to reap smiles.
Yes.
You want friendships, you're being a friend. Yes. By faith, you are putting that seed in the ground, and you know God is not a man that he should lie, and he will honor his word. What you sow, you reap. And so, friend, I will just challenge you. If you are sowing the flesh, guess what you're going to reap? The flesh. You don't sow apples and get oranges. And if you are sowing grace, truth, forgiveness, money into the kingdom of heaven, you are going to see it return to your life in the area where you need it most. Spiritual things sown result in spiritual harvest. So there's that. Now let's get back over to Philippians chapter 4. And I just want to go over a few of these verses at the end of the chapter. And we're going to pick it up in verse 17. Paul is writing, "This is how heaven sees your giving." And this is a financial gift that he received from the church in Philippi. "Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking..." I'm sorry, my eyes jumped here. "Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account." There are ledgers in heaven. "I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied, and I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent." Now here's the part that's also beautiful. "Your gifts are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God shall meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." We all know verse 19. We are all trusting God to meet all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But it's really important that we understand the context in the preceding verses, that it was related to generosity, and that they are sowing, and as a result, they have an anticipation of what they will harvest. When you read in Leviticus chapter 7, remember I shared in the first night that this is a thoroughly Gentile church. They couldn't even find 10 Jewish men to start a synagogue. That's why Lydia was having a prayer meeting at the river. So they have no idea what the Old Testament says. But when Paul says your gift is a fragrant offering, he's referencing back to Leviticus chapter 7. Where God goes over what thanksgiving offerings are. And thanksgiving offerings are fellowship offerings, fall into three categories: thanksgiving, vow, and free will. There's a verse in 2 Samuel where the Lord is having a conversation with David. And David says, "Who am I and my household that the Lord would be mindful of me?" He's so humble of where God has taken him and anointed him and brought him. And friends, Todd and I, my husband, we know that we are achieving things that our grandparents and our parents only dreamed of. We are accomplishing things. We are breaking generational curses. We are plowing new ground for our family. Our children will stand on our shoulders and reach higher than we could have reached on our parents' shoulders. And when I think about the Lord and my household and that he has been mindful of me, I don't bring grain and oil and the fat of rams into the house of the Lord, but I bring my tithes and my offerings because it is a fellowship offering. It is a thanksgiving offering. It is a way for me to say, God, you've been good. You will continue to be good. And I am sowing into my future what I want to reap and what I want my children and my children's children to reap. I would encourage you. Read Psalm 107. And David is writing about all the things God has done for him, how he's healed his body, how he's protected him from his enemies, how he's opened doors for him. Friend, if the Lord has done any of those things for you, I would challenge you to give him a thanksgiving offering. He doesn't need your money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But sometimes it's good for our actions to match our words. And it's a sweet smelling aroma before the throne of heaven. All right. So joy is content. That's our last point here. Joy is content. Contentment is focusing on what you should do and not focusing on what you have. And sometimes we get those reversed and we focus on what we have. We focus on what we have instead of what we should do. Contentment with godliness is great gain. And that's a verse, I don't have it written down to be able to give you the reference, but if you Google it, contentment anchors your joy. It anchors your joy so that it's not deflated every time you see the neighbors buy a new car. There's godliness with contentment. In Philippians 4, 11 through 13, this is the incredible verse that we all hear every athlete quote and everyone else. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. It's predicated by Paul declaring that he is content. I will tell you that with joy comes strength, supernatural strength. Joy that's based in contentment will come with it, supernatural strength. Contentment means I am satisfied with where God has me, regardless of what's happening to me. Amen. I'm not going to miss out on something that's in my future, because if it's what God has for me, then no man can keep it from me. And I will be content in this moment, trusting my God, his timing, and his processes. So joy comes with strength. All right, girls. So the last thing we have here are our takeaways. You have until August to do your homework. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You have till tomorrow. No. Joy sometimes requires me to give up the right to be right. Unity.
Yes.
Unity. Joy means I give to give, not to get. And I can live in contentment. If I know God is responsible to give me the return on my investment, that takes a little bit of the hustle out, does it not? Supernatural joy comes with supernatural strength. And here's our action item. I will cultivate contentment by thanking God for holding me in joy and strength in the season I am in today. This week, I will give sacrificially of my time and my resources as a demonstration of my worship to Jesus. Now, girls, I'm going to level with you. I work full time. I'm raising 2 children. And time is probably the one thing that I can least afford. Can anybody relate to that?
Yes.
I would rather write a check. Let's be honest. Like when the football boosters come to me and say, we need parents to sell concessions at halftime. I'm like, can I just give you $25 for a box of Snickers? Because the last thing I want to do is make change, right, at the football game. There's a verse in Proverbs, and it says that the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. I felt a restlessness in my spirit about 2 years ago. And I didn't know if I was going through a midlife crisis, I needed to change my hair color, or what it was, right? But I felt the Holy Spirit challenge me to give of my time. Now, I work full time here. And sometimes the lines can blur between when I am volunteering and when I am vocational, okay? And so I was like, Lord, you know, where would you like me to give of my time? And he led me to an organization that is not church affiliated in Montgomery County. It's called Assistance League, okay? And I went there to volunteer, and it's a sacrifice. They have these minimum requirements. You have to work at least 6 hours a month in their thrift store. Well, the only day I have to do that is Saturdays. So I'm sacrificing 1 Saturday a month at their thrift store, and I am learning how to use a register at 46 years old. And I'm not making change for Snickers, I'm making change for tennis shoes, right? I'm going through this, I'm like, Lord, I feel like, what's going on here? What is it that I'm missing? What is it that you want me to do? I was checking a woman out, and she had an unusual last name. Her name was Piotrowski. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Piotrowski, my daughter goes with a student, last name Piotrowski, Klein Piotrowski. She's like, yeah, that's my son. I said, get out of town. Go Lions. Eat them up, like creep. And she says, you know, I have a Bible study for high school girls at Lake Creek.
poker face. Really? That's interesting.
She said, your daughter should come be a part of this Bible study.
That's a great idea.
She's like, do you guys have a church? I said, yeah, we go somewhere. In that season, my daughter was looking for women, young women, who are chasing Jesus like she's chasing Jesus. And I will tell you, they are few and far to
find in a public high school.
And the Holy Spirit was so good that he's like, if you will give of your tithe, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. And so I can put a woman at a thrift store in your sphere so that she can connect with your daughter and provide something that you've been praying for your child that you can't give your own child. Girls, I will just tell you, err on the side of generosity. Err on the side of generosity. Don't make the kingdom of heaven beg you.
Don't make the kingdom of heaven beg you to do what God's designed you to do.
So with that, I hope that challenges you. I hope that it encourages you. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to have an incredible time of discussion. And I hope I get to see you in August. But until then, I hope you have an incredible summer. All right? Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are present in this place. God, I thank you that your word is true. God, as we reap generously, as we sow generously, we reap generously. God, I speak faith into every single woman here. God, you see the area of her life where you are urging her to be more generous. Whether it's with her time, her talent, or her resources. Holy Spirit, the kindness of the Lord leads us to repentance. Lord, be kind to her right now. Gently tug at her heart. Give her the faith she needs to be able to put that seed in the ground. And God, give her the spiritual eyes to see the harvest that is to come. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for every single woman here who has prioritized your word, who is prioritizing her pursuit of you. Father God, continue to just bring supernatural blessings and acceleration into her life, Father God. Father, I speak relationships into her life, knitted hearts into her life, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for keeping us safe. God, that we won't stop pursuing you in your word, but God, that we'll continue that until we meet together again in August. God, we thank you for the women who aren't here yet. We thank you for the seats that are about to be filled. I thank you for the women who are going to come because the women in this room are saying, come, let me take you to the well where I got a drink. Let me let you know the Savior who has met my needs and who walks with me and is a friend to me. God, we bless your name, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right.